Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you are not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed by your finances and unsure of how to take control? Want to break free from debt and create a retirement future you'll be proud of? You're in the right place. Join the 90-Day Financial Freedom Accelerator today and experience the transformational power of coaching. Imagine a life where you control your money instead of it controlling you. In just 90 days, we'll guide you through the fundamentals of budgeting, saving, and debt reduction using the proven cash flow payday budgeting method. It's simple, effective, and it works. Don't miss this opportunity to take charge of your finances and create a brighter future for yourself. Head over to the website www.elevatefinances.us to learn more and to apply for coaching. Welcome to today's episode of Wealthy After 40. I am excited for today's guest, Iva Bontrager. She is a certified Christian life and neuro coach. She helps ambitious, faith-filled women master their mindset so that they can build thriving, profitable businesses. Her neuro coaching certification allows her to help clients break old broken beliefs that are holding them back. She is married to her husband, Levi, and mom to three incredible adult sons. Here's a few interesting facts about her. She was born and raised Amish. She left the culture when she was 14. She quit school after eighth grade. She started her first business at 14, and she has helped her oldest son recover from autism. So Iva's money wealth story starts with her being told many unhealthy money stories. This led to wrong beliefs in adulthood, and she's here to share with us how she was able to break through that mindset and is now creating wealth in her late 40s. Welcome, Iva.
Thank you for having me, Daylene. It's so good to be here.
Yes, awesome. So tell us about your money beliefs.
Yeah, so going back as a young child, I was born and raised on a farm, very typical in the Amish culture. We live in the Midwest. And so my parents, they raised us on a farm, and my dad bought this farm in the early 70s, late 60s, I believe. I wasn't born yet. I was born in 76. But my memory is of the early 80s when things were really hard, and especially for farmers. And so those are my early memories of life on the farm. Was always hard. It was difficult. It was challenging financially. And my parents talked pretty openly about money and their struggles with money. And I remember as a young child, just having a lot of fear about having enough. And so that kind of formed those early just emotional, you know, my emotions around money, my beliefs around money. Money was scarce. There was an abundance of money. And my mom also kind of, I don't know that she ever really spoke it, but just maybe comments that were said were around that people who have a lot of money are greedy. And she was a very giving person. I know she was very well-intentioned with that. No bad reflection on her. I believe, you know, my parents did the best they knew how with what they had. And so those were kind of just the basis for, you know, my money stories as a young child growing up. And, you know, we, as young children, we pick up these things, and those are the things that are put into our subconscious brain that affect us even as adults, if we don't work at removing those. So that was kind of my early days. Things were hard on the farm. My dad was actually very entrepreneurial. He tried a bunch of different things to try to create extra incomes, you know, other streams of income. wasn't super successful at them, but I always admired him for his entrepreneurialism and, his attempts at trying to create other ways to make income. And so anyway, fast forward a little bit, in my teenage years, I would say, I started my first business when I was 14. I've been a business owner now for over 20 years. It's always had a heart for entrepreneurialism, but I probably wasn't the wisest with my money when I was a teenager. I spent it pretty freely. But then when my husband and I, we got married, and then we, of course, we started a home of our own, and it was time to get serious about finances. He probably wasn't the greatest with his money either when he was a teenager. But anyway, so we started a family, and I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so in order to do that, we needed to live on one income. And so we lived on my husband's income for 8 years. And I was a stay-at-home mom to my kids, and something I will never, regret. I was so grateful to have that opportunity. But it meant that we needed to get really serious about our money, right? To make this work. And so we budgeted, we were super careful how we spent. But we made it happen. And we actually, by the end of those first 10 years of our married life, we actually had our home paid for. Most of that was done on one income. It was all really, when I look back at it, I'm like, wow, that was really miraculous. But anyway, it was a skill we had to learn. And because there was this desire for me to be a stay-at-home mom, to be with our kids. And we wanted to make that happen. And so we had to learn that skill. And it was such a good skill for us to learn, even, for the years we live now. I mean, it's just skill that can be transferred, right? And anyway, so once our kids all were in school, then I went back to work. And then we started, investing and, into retirement and all of that, and just making sure we have our 6 months of emergency savings and all the things of being healthy with our money. I will say, though, in probably the biggest, I love what you do in your, when I've been listening to your podcast episodes, how you highlight different experiences that we've had over the years. Like for me, the early 80s, my dad struggled on the farm. I mean, my dad was at the brink of losing his farm. Those were challenging times. And then the biggest probably time for my husband and I then was in 2008. Economy was very difficult. We lived in northern Indiana at the time, and that's a heavy manufacturing industry there in that area. There's a lot of manufacturing, and that really took a nosedive in 2008. My husband was on the verge of losing his job, and we were one income. And so this, it was very scary. And I can still feel that fear, but at night I would lay in bed and be just like, oh, what are we going to do? So much fear had crept in. And so I love how you highlight how those kinds of experiences in our lives can affect how we look at fear, right? And, those years since 2008, I've had to really work at overcoming some of those fears, right? Because those were lean times, those were scary times. And, thinking about the idea, the possibility of him losing his job, and then we'd be without an income and all of that. We have a family to take care of. And, it's just, it really influences, how you look at money. And so over the years since then, really had to work at shifting from lack to abundance, right? And to trust that. For me, my faith is such a central part to who I am, that God's provision will be there for us. And so that's kind of been our money's journey. I would say more in the recent years, as I've become certified as a coach and just understanding the power of our mindset, that's more recently becoming certified as a neuro coach, understanding how our brain impacts our beliefs, those stories that run in our subconscious. So, I realized, I was still carrying, even as an adult, I was still carrying these money stories as a young child, that money is scarce, money is hard to come by. If you have too much money, whatever that is, right, then you must be greedy. Some of these money stories that I was still carrying, that was running, those stories were still running in my subconscious brain, still affecting my outcome and my results today as an adult. And I would say specifically around, are in this stage of really focusing on preparing well for retirement and all of that, and thinking about investing. And with investing, there's always a level of risk, right? Just overcoming some of those fears and working on those stories. And so No, it's always a work in progress. I'm still working on those money stories, right? But understanding the importance of removing those old stories that we pick up from childhood has been a real powerful part of my own personal money journey. So,
So let's talk a little bit more about money stories. And I don't know if you can get specific, like as you work through them, right? I'm sure there it's a roller coaster. Like you do really well and you flipped it for however, months, years, or whatever it might be. And then, you kind of come back down again. Can you share with us like the recognizing that this is holding me back, so I need to pay close attention to it and how you do that?
yeah, so there's always, I always think of it as like peeling layers off of an onion. You peel off a layer and you break through, and then as you move forward, you hit this resistance. And our brains are created to keep us safe and familiar. Our brain is always working to keep us safe and familiar. So anytime we step into something new, that resistance that comes up in our brain is just simply our brain saying, "Oh, that's not safe. Stay away from here. We've not been down this path before." And it's just telling our brain, "Oh, it's okay. It's fine." But also that when we hit that place of resistance, it's just, telling us, pay attention. This is an area to pay attention to, right? And so now that I have more of an understanding of how the brain works through the neurocoaching certification that I've received, there's actually a step-by-step process. So when this resistance comes up for me, I just look at it as an opportunity. Okay, this is just another opportunity for me to grow in overcoming this resistance. And it's usually a sign that there's probably still something running in my subconscious that's still keeping me from moving forward. And so being able, I work with a coach. Coaching for me is very important. If I want to be a successful coach, I have to be coached, right? And so it's usually just sitting down with my coach and digging deeper into my subconscious. What is it that's holding me back in my subconscious? And identifying that belief that's still there. And maybe it's an old belief that I've been working on for a while already, but it's just still kind of hanging around. And then just going deeper on that. And once we can uncover that belief, one of the first steps that's really important to do, and I would encourage even the listener to do this, if you've uncovered a belief that you feel like is holding you back, specifically in your finances, is logical evidence that it's not true. So for me, just this money story that people who have a lot of money, again, in quotation marks, whatever a lot of money is, must be greedy. Well, let's look for evidence that that's not true. And so just being really clear with your brain and writing it down, because when we put pen to paper, that taps deeper into our brain to pull out what's in our subconscious. And we get to really take a look at what is the proof for our brain, that shows it that this belief is not true, because what's running in our subconscious is what's affecting our outcome. So, and how our brain stores things into our subconscious is simply a thought combined with an emotion, repeated often enough, our brain puts it in our subconscious, because 90 to 95% of the things we do on a daily basis come from our subconscious brain, simply for the brain to conserve energy. Our brain, when we're working out of our logical part of our brain, we're burning glucose. And so our brain, in order to conserve glucose, stores things into its subconscious so that, it can save energy. That's where these beliefs come from, is thought combined with an emotion repeated often enough just gets stored there. And, our brain is not, it doesn't have a filter to say whether, is this a belief we should keep or not, especially when we're young, because, our prefrontal cortex is not developed. For males, prefrontal cortex isn't developed until the 24. For females, it's 21. So all those years, that logical brain hasn't been developed enough to say, "Oh, I want to keep that belief or I don't," right? And so we have some of these unhealthy beliefs that we store in there and we don't even know it. And as adults, now we get to work on them, right? So yeah, this belief that people who have a lot of money must be greedy is definitely one of those that I've had to work on. And to be honest with you, having that belief pop up, it was not allowing me. Yes, we've been really consistent with saving and putting money into our retirement, but desire is to grow our wealth in a way that we can be even more generous, right? And in order to do that, I really need to remove this belief that having too much must be greedy, because as long as that belief is there, I'm never really going to be able to increase my wealth to a level where I can become, like the generosity that I really want to be. And it's just, because what's running in my subconscious brain is going to affect my results. So, yeah.
Yeah, that greed, and I think like money stories really are affected in our ages 3 to 7. And I believe it's because we're exposed to a lot more conversations between mom and dad,
Yes.
from 3 to 7, because they're like, oh, they don't understand and they don't know. And that's honestly true, right? They don't understand and they don't know, but their brain stores it away. And so, you saw those greed images and they are buried deep into your mind. And so, changing that term of greed to generous, and still keep it within the alphabet, right? G to G, but realizing that if you have more, yes, I guess you could be greedy and keep it, but if you really want to do well and do good for others and provide for whoever that may be, you do need to be able to allow yourself to receive that. So I love that. Yeah. One last question. And I don't know how, where this is going to go, but I'm just thinking like a lot of people tie their worth to their money. And, that's definitely a money story. And being an entrepreneur, sometimes you're like, well, am I worth it? Can somebody pay me that? Or am I worth it to even earn it? And share with us, do you struggle with that? And if you don't, great, but how you're able to empower yourself with worth minus money.
Yes, this is definitely one that is near and dear to my heart as well. I, in fact, just recently came through a season of doing some deep heart work around that, because I realized I wasn't charging enough for what I was doing, and really challenging one, right? And so with my coach, I really had to work through those money stories tied to my value, and realizing that I wasn't valuing what I was, the transformation I was bringing to my clients, if I wasn't charging them for according to my value, right? And I think this is probably a common one for women, especially too, is to undervalue what they bring to their clients. And as business owners, and that has definitely been a challenging journey for me. I would say it's, it's one that I will probably always have to be aware of, right? And so, yeah, I definitely knew that I had a story attached to my value with money. And that was another thing that, my mom had inadvertently, placed on me was, she also had ran a business, and I saw over the years how little she charged for the services that she provided. And she worked so hard and she charged so little. And definitely, I picked that up from a young child as well, and have had to work a lot on that. But it is amazing what happens when you do that deep heart level work. I mean, some of that digging deep sometimes can be really challenging, and our emotions get stirred up and all the things. But once we work through those and really see the truth again, just our brain needs to see the logical. And there's more to it than that. As a neuro coach, there's a whole process I take my clients through to actually help them remove their beliefs. And so, but the first step is identifying where is the logical evidence that this isn't true, right? It's so helpful for our brains. And so, especially around this, my value being tied to money. Coming up with concrete proof for my brain to see that, there is evidence that you can charge the value that you bring to your clients, right? And that there's nothing wrong with that. And then, tapping into the rest of the process as well. But it is for sure, it's a really good and necessary process to go through for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you for sharing your story. I hope the listeners got a lot of, good information out of it. I know I did. And I love specifically how you share it's a journey and it's a long journey and it's a continuous journey. So, to everyone out there on their money journey,
We got to keep going. We got to keep going. So, for those of you who want to connect with Iva, you can find her on Instagram at Iva Bontrager or Facebook on Iva Bontrager Coaching. And both of those links are found down in our show notes. And we thank her for being on our episode today. And
thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Having a community of support is important to your financial success. I would love to have you join me in my free Facebook community, All Things Personal Finance. Inside this group, every live training, action challenge, and posts are filled with tips and strategies to help you progress to financial freedom. If you have questions from today's episode or want to learn more, follow me on Instagram at Elevate Finances. If you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about how I can support you with one-on-one coaching. Thanks and have a wonderful day.